Good evening to everyone. Hope everyone had a wonderful day. As always, we're blessed to come together. We have visitors with us, and thank you for your presence here tonight. We will have a short lesson at the end of the presentation, but I want to talk to you for just a little while about the trip that I just got back in from early this morning, the trip to the island of Grenada. We have been involved in the work in Grenada for a number of years. We've been supporting the evangelist there at the congregation, which is now the River Road Congregation, Ernest Roberts. And he has visited here on two occasions. He was in the United States last summer with some eye problems. I first started going to Grenada to do work there, and many of you will have been around long enough to know in the year 2010. I think it was Toll Burke who had talked to someone here about the idea of us adopting one of the islands in the Caribbean to do a VBS. Several churches do that, and as we thought about it, we thought, well, we helped Brother Ernest Roberts, and he's there. So we contacted him, and I think we took about 15 people there in 2010. Had a very good VBS. In 2012, I went back with Don Wright. When the church moved to their new location, they started meeting at the National Stadium. You'll see a picture of that in just a moment. And Don and I spent time in the surrounding neighborhoods on these mountains next to the National Stadium. Spent time going door to door, and we probably hit 400 or 500 houses in 2 weeks. And then in 2013, we went back with a group of around 12 people and did another VBS. That was the last time I was there until this last week. If you're not familiar with where Grenada is, if you look in the lower right-hand corner, right there is where the islands, at the lower end of the chain of islands. Here's a little larger map. It's a relatively small island, 12 miles across, 20 miles from top to bottom. The primary city is the city of St. George's, which is right there in the parish of St. George in this area. There are about 110,000 people that live on the island. There is, to our knowledge, one of what we would consider a sound congregation on the island. There are a number of institutional congregations there, probably about 7. Brother Ernest has worked on this island. He's from Dominica, but he's worked on this island. He worked in the 70s. He came back in the 90s, and he is toiling away. He's in his 70s, and he has a lot of health problems now, and his wife has a lot of health problems. Here's the group that was going from left to right to Dan Lankford. I mentioned this morning he preaches at the Eastland congregation. His purpose was to lead singing. That was one thing we were going to do this time that would be a little different. When we had our gospel meeting in the evening, we initially decided that we were going to have 30 minutes of just singing. Now, you'll see in a few moments, they set a tent up and they have PA systems set up so they could broadcast to the houses up on the hill throughout the week. We thought that maybe that might be something that would interest people if they hear the singing. And Dan did a wonderful job. The first night, Sunday night, a week ago when we started, we sang for 30 minutes and I preached and my lesson was 30 minutes long. We finished in an hour. And Brother Ernest and another gentleman and several of the ladies talked, and they came back and they said, well, we have a problem. I said, what? They said, the service was too short. We need you to preach longer. I said, would you tell me that again? I don't think I've ever, did I hear you properly? So what we did the next night and for the rest of the week is we had 45 minutes of singing, and we tried to just pad the sermons a little bit. So most nights we would get out anywhere from 8:15 to 8:45. Dan did an excellent job all week long. The brethren were really encouraged. He's a wonderful song leader. Of course, you know the one right next to him, Josh Coles. Josh went back in 2013 with us and did a wonderful job with the gospel meeting there. And so I invited him to go back with us this time. And they knew him, and so there was a reputation that he began to build with them. And Alina went with me this time. I told you this morning, you'll see in just a few moments, I told her, if you go, you need to be ready to work. And I said, I'll tell you more about when we studied with people, but if there are any children, you need to be ready with Bible story books or coloring sheets. And at each of the services, she kept looking around, and if kids came in, she would take a coloring sheet, biblical story, and some crayons and help them, and she helped watch some of the children as well. So that was a joy to go with her. Grenada is a very colorful island. These pictures really don't do this justice. The streets are very narrow. It's very confined. You are running into people all the time. It's generally a very friendly island. I don't know if you can read that sign, but the sign says Hill of Hate and Spite. I didn't know if I needed to go up that hill or not. But we did, and everyone was friendly. I've never seen that sign before. For 2 weeks in 2012, Don and I went knocking on people's doors. Just these strangers, you know, light strangers, just walking around. And everyone was as pleasant as they could be. In fact, that's the reason why I felt comfortable taking Alina with me. Even sometimes we walked around at night. It's an extremely gentle island. The people are wonderful. They're very kind. I've been to Jamaica before. I would not go out at night in Jamaica. Of course, you understand, we weren't in the resort areas. I mean, we're out in the busy streets where other people were. But the people are very respectful, and so that's a very unusual sign there. It's a beautiful island. The Carenage, if you ever Google Grenada and you look at pictures, you will very likely see harbor shots of what is known as the Carenage. And it's known to be one of the most beautiful areas within the Caribbean as far as architecture. Very colorful. Every evening as we walked to where the saints met, we crossed a bridge, and we crossed just at sunset. And so every night we began to take these pictures of the beauty of the sunset. It's just breathtaking every night. And this is my favorite. And these the colors that you see do not capture the beauty around you. But I was also reminded of Louisville. KFC is there. So when we were there and they said, "Where are you from?" "We're from Louisville." They go, "Oh, Louisville. KFC. KFC is there. Subway is there." We ate at KFC and Subway most of the time. So let me tell you about the group there and the work that was done. That's just sort of setting everything up. Here's a picture of the National Stadium. The National Stadium was built by the Chinese in the mid-1990s to host the World Cricket Contest. And so the Chinese built this stadium, and the Saints meet in a rented room. In fact, if you look right there, that spot, right there, that's where the Saints meet on a regular basis. They rent this room on a monthly basis, and they meet there. They have a sign up outside at the gate where people come in, telling the times of where they meet. And here are two of the gentlemen in the congregation. Brother Ernest Roberts is the one on the far right. He, again, is the evangelist there. He's been working with the congregation since they formed a new work in 2010. In the middle there is Brother Godfrey Edwards. Those are the only two men in the congregation, and they were instrumental in the work that took place during the week. Here you see the tent going up for the gospel meeting that we would have. So this was a old-fashioned tent meeting, old-fashioned tent revival that they had. There are some trains there to train people in. That was a joke. They're not there to do that, by the way. But they had some kind of kids thing going on throughout the week there where the saints would rent the spot. And they had those trains out there. I just thought they were interesting there. But there was, and you see there the speakers. And those speakers were broadcasting out to these hills known as Dabo Hills that people were living at. This is a picture probably from the first night, very close up front, of Dan Langford leading singing. Josh is preaching. Here he is, but some bald guy got his head in the way. He wouldn't move either. And there's that bald guy preaching. So each night, Monday through Thursday night, we had around 30 people who came. The congregation has about 20, 25 people, and some of those people couldn't come every night. They have some people. Brother Ernest's wife has a lot of health problems. She can't come out. Some other people have health problems. So we had visitors who started coming in. On this trip, the saints did a lot to help in this work. For the most part, they paid for the tent. Now, there are some expenses they could not pay. There were some last-minute expenses came in that they were not aware of. But they said, "We want to pay for this, and we want to help out." And I think the saints there helped by going around and passing out flyers. Here's probably Monday night. The people were there, like I said, right around 30 each night. I stopped on Tuesday night getting in front of the whole group taking a picture, but I stepped out just to give you an idea of who all was there. And then on Friday night, we had 48 people who showed up. All right. My prayer had been 50. 50 was the magic number I'd been praying for. So we got right to the 50. I was incredibly pleased with how many people came. A lot of people weren't Christians. Some were family members that Christians had spoken to try to get them in.
We had several people from the hills, the surrounding hills, who the saints had gone by and given out flyers. And on Friday, we made additional flyers and just spent time walking around the area. I'll tell you this story very quickly. In 2013, when we went, there we were having a VBS just for teens. And we were walking around the area. And River Road, which is the road next to the stadium, is a little rougher part of town. And I was walking by this bar, and these three Grenadians said, "Hey, come here." So I went. And they said, "Why aren't you giving us one of those?" I said, "Well, it's a VBS for teens." And they said, "Do you not want us to come?" And I said, "No, that's not what it is." And I'm in a bar at this point with three guys who have been drinking, and I'm getting a little nervous. So I vacate the area. And the next day, as I was walking, I thought, I'm going to go back in there. We'll go back in there and talk to those guys some more. And I went in. You know what they did? They apologized for the way they treated me the day before. And from that point on, when I'd walk by, they would wave. One of the guys' name was Snaga. I think you spell it S-N-A-G-G-A. He had a tattoo on his arm there, in case you missed it. But, you know, this is a guy living a life that's very different from the life I'm living. But though he owned this bar, he was kind. So when we were going around Friday, we walked right by there, and I said, "Hey, I'm stepping in." And Snaga was there. And the other guys were there. I don't think they ever leave. But they remembered me, and they were very kind and everything. And then we saw them one night we passed by. And I guess my point is that even though there were obviously some moral choices that were different, they were very kind and respectful, you know, to us when we came in there. So we had people like that who were coming up throughout the week. I'm not sure one lady came down from the hills. I'm not sure if she came because she heard the sermons and the singing, or I'll tell you the other reason why she may have come in just a moment. But 48 people by the end of the week. I was on a personal level just elated to have all those people there. There's Brother Ernest addressing everyone at the very end of the meeting. Let me tell you about some studies that we had very quickly. In 2013, when we were there, I think it was Mary Quinn first met Roselle, who is the lady up there with Josh and Dan and me. Roselle works as a house cleaner there at the inn that we stayed. And we studied with her for, I guess, about a week and a half that first time. And when we got there this trip, I asked if she was still working there. And they said, "Yeah, she'll be in tomorrow." And we saw her. Now, I didn't want to push too much. And I just told her, I said, "Look, it's great to see you." I said, "Have you been reading your Bible anymore?" She said, "No." And I said, okay. I said, "Well, if you want to study, we would love to study with you some more." I said, "You don't have to. But if you'd like to, we would." And so the next day, when I came into my room on my bed that she had made, she left a little note. And that note said, "I would like to study some more." And she gave me her phone number and her email address. So we set up studies and we studied with her. And I think that she's closer to the kingdom. She's been emailing back since we left. And I think she's moving in the right direction. There are some decisions she has to make, as with everybody when we make a decision to follow Christ. But she was really a delight in so many ways. She had a lot of questions. She'd come in there with a sheet of questions and just go through them one after another, and we'd try our best to answer them. Here was a gentleman that Dan studied with, I think, the first day. One of the things that we did, we had the gospel meeting in the evening, and we advertised that in the afternoons from 1 to 4, we would be there if anyone wanted to study. And so we went there just about every day, you know, and we waited. And every day a certain individual came in just a moment. But this is one guy. Here's a lady by the name of Joy. Now, Joy was an interesting lady. Joy was a little antagonistic when she first came down. And she was telling me that I didn't need to be preaching the gospel down there. And people didn't need the Bible. They need money. I mentioned that this morning. So we talked for quite a while. Well, I say we talked. She did most of the talking. She came with an axe to grind. All right. And every time I tried to answer from the Bible, she would go off about how we shouldn't believe the Bible. So finally I said, Miss Joy, I mean, every answer I'm going to give you is from the Bible, and you don't want to believe the Bible, so I'm really not sure what I can tell you. And she kept talking. At one point I said, okay, Miss Joy, if our conversation is 100%, you've done 80% of the talking, I've done 20% of the talking. I need a little airtime now. And so she laughed at that, and we ended on good terms. In fact, I think the next day, Aline and I were walking down the street, and she walked by us, and she said, hi, Mr. Mark. So my point there is relationships are starting to be built, and respect is starting to be shown with people. This is the guy we studied with the most during the week. His name is Irwin Williams. He comes from a Seventh-day Adventist Pentecostal background. He would come about 2 hours every day, and he was there every day. So he was there, well, one day, Wednesday he missed. He studied for 8 hours. I'll show you another picture of him in just a moment. He was a smart guy. At first he acted like he didn't know much about the Bible, but as you saw him go through the Bible, he knew a fair amount of the Bible, but we tried to help him in some ways, and I think that was beneficial as well. The most interesting part. One of the most interesting parts of the trip, and you may have seen, I posted this on Facebook. Brother Godfrey has connections around town. He used to be a high-ranking police officer. He contacted the local radio program, and they have a morning radio program like we have on WHAS or whatever that a lot of people listen to. And it's called To The Point. And he got us on To The Point. So we showed up Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and Josh and I, we didn't have a clue what this was going to be like. And one of the first comments she made was how uncertain people are with President Trump and the change in the transgender rule that he made in the last week. So I'm thinking, oh, I hope we're not getting into politics. And then she started asking me about gay marriage. And I got the feeling she was probably a little more progressive in her views. But we opened up the Word of God and we reasoned with her, and she was very nice. Then we started taking calls, and the first call was, what does God think about women as preachers? And the game was on. I mean, for the rest of the time, we had people calling in, and this lady's name was Brenda. She was extremely nice, very professional. To that question, Josh opened up 1 Timothy chapter 2, and he read. And she was just stunned, and she goes, that's in the Bible? And later on, I gently said, Brenda, that's illustrative of the problem of the world today. You didn't know that was in the Bible. And most people don't know what's in the Bible. But she was like flabbergasted. I mean, if you watch the video, she's like this. She can't believe that that was what was in the Bible. And then there were a lot of calls about that and several other things. Some people agreed, some people disagreed, but that went on for an hour. And the lady that came down from Dabo Hills may have come down because she heard the radio program. I think Miss Joy came because she heard the radio program and she was fired up about that. I wish we had done that earlier in the week. But we were blessed to be able to do it when we could. Here is Alina with some of the kids that were there. This lady is Rhodesia Smith, and these were her grandchildren, and Lena took to them. One evening she was helping Miss Rhodesia, and she was holding the little granddaughter, and the granddaughter fell asleep. Here the little granddaughter is coloring, and Miss Rhodesia wanted a picture of the kids with Alina. So that was Miss Rhodesia. Here are some of the saints there in the congregation. The Simon family is a very important part of the congregation, wonderful family. The lady to the left is the matriarch of the congregation, and this is one of her daughters, Dale. From right to left, her daughter, Lindy, and Sister Simon's daughter in the middle, Sister Teresa. Sister Teresa, in the fall of last year, was visiting Miami. She's a gynecologist, and she had a stroke, a pretty major stroke, and was here for a number of weeks. She is recovering very nicely. And the young lady next to them is not a part of the family. Her name is Gracelyn. I can't remember her last name, but she was a sweet lady. Very important to the congregation. The lady to the left here, Antonia, is a Christian. She married last year. She became a Christian and got married. I think his name was Musa, but they were very kind as well. And this is Mr. Irwin
Williams that I studied with so much. And this is one of the pillars of the congregation as well, Miss Sister Maureen. She was the post office officer of the River Road area for a number of years, and she knows everybody in the area, and everybody knows her. A very sweet lady. Well, here are just some pictures of the people mingling after the meetings each night, and that's a picture of the National Stadium as the sun went down, and that's where we close our presentation. So, what do I want you to take from this? This, I said a moment ago, is my fourth time to go. And I've been very disappointed in the work in the past. When we went in 2010, and we had 100 kids coming to the VBS each day, I just thought for sure, after the VBS was over, there'd be four or five people who'd keep coming and meeting with the church. And there wasn't anybody. Then in 2012, when they met and moved to the National Stadium, which is really a great location to meet at. Everybody knows where the National Stadium is. When Don and I went and we spent 2 weeks just going up to the hills and we canvassed the area and knocked on 400 or 500 houses, their doors, I thought surely, because a lot of people go, oh, you know, yeah, I'll come. In fact, one guy, I remember, saying, I think I'll come. Then he goes, no, I will come. And I thought, great. And then we left, zero. And then we went back in 2013. We tried the VBS again, and again, it was zero. And I really got discouraged. So 4 years passed until last summer when Brother Ernest was here. I drove up to Indiana where he was having a surgery. Jerry Hersey is an older Christian who has known him for years, and we were talking, trying to think of things that we could do. And we came up with the idea of doing a radio program for 3 months, ending with a gospel meeting. I love Grenada. I do not love Grenada because of the beautiful scenery. It is beautiful. I know some of you think I love it just because of pirates. That's not the only reason. Although, I'll tell you, some days when you look out at the ocean, you can imagine a sailing ship firing its cannons out there. But I'll tell you, Grenada's hot. Grenada is miserable during the day. The hotel we stayed at had air conditioning at night, but during the day, temperature-wise, they're probably where we are, but they are right on the equator. And it's pretty hot during the day. And then when you step outside and you're around a lot of sweaty people, bumping into them, and this isn't, again, the resort area, you know, it's tough. And if you want to travel somewhere and take a bus, their bus is a van. And they pack 16 or 17 people in that van. And there's no air conditioning. We rode the van one day, and I survived it. I said, I'm not riding that again. It was tough. My point is, this is not a resort area. I don't love it because it's all sun and beach and all that stuff. I love it because of the people. And in particular, the church. The church is struggling. They are challenged. Brother Ernest, his health is becoming more of a challenge for him. His wife's health is becoming more of a challenge to him. And I love going there because I love the people who are there. It had been 4 years since I'd been. And I had to confess, as I thought about it on this last time, I have not been there in 4 years because I was discouraged. I would hear reports, Sid and Tristan going off to Sierra Leone, and they're going left and right, and all these people are showing up. And I thought about the 3 trips I had made to Grenada, and we weren't nearly as busy, and people weren't coming. But over the course of the week, I began to realize that there's a huge difference between Sierra Leone, India, the Philippines, in Grenada. And the main difference is you're dealing there with works that have a long history to them. And being helped and being encouraged by saints. And what we are doing in Grenada is laying the ground floor for what we hope to be more efforts to encourage them. And I left Grenada with a determination to go back every year
Even though I have no aspirations to become a world traveler, the idea of flying in a can thousands of miles up in the sky, I think, is ludicrous. But that's really the only way to get there. But the work needs to be strengthened. And with each trip, I'm seeing an opening of the Christians there toward us. Their willingness to do more. I hope because they trust us more. And I want us to build on that. I think the people in the area who aren't Christians are seeing us and they're recognizing us. And I want us to continue to build upon that. So I want to talk for just a few moments about endurance. What do you do when you feel like giving up? All of us feel like giving up sometimes, right? We begin to deal with some kind of struggle in life. Maybe you're a frustrated mom. Maybe you're frustrated with your marriage. Maybe you're frustrated with your spiritual life. And you just want to give up sometimes. The text that Mason read just a moment ago is a text that reminds us that Paul, when he looked at the Thessalonians, he looked at them and he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. The Apostle Paul here recognized three things, their work of love. It's interesting the progression here. Work is that idea of getting out there and doing something. Labor is a little more laborious. So they were working, but sometimes they had to labor. And sometimes they had to have patience. It has never been easy to be a Christian. And it's never been easy to do the Lord's work. We will so often face some kind of obstacle. You're going to face it in your personal life. We're going to face it in this congregation. You will face it in your home. You're going to face it at your work. And there are going to be those times that you want to just throw your hands up. I faced this with the work in Grenada. Let me share just with you three things. First of all, this idea of patience means the idea of being steadfast and enduring. A few things to keep in mind if you find yourself struggling with enduring in any particular thing. First of all, have full faith in God's approval of what you are doing. Now, there are a lot of things that you and I can do in our lives that God does not approve of, and we've got to evaluate that, beloved. And if God does not approve of what you're doing, you need to figure that one out pretty quickly. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul was hitting a wall and he was struggling with enduring as he preached in the city of Corinth. He was so frustrated in verse 6. We are told when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. And I can imagine Paul raising his voice at that. Paul was frustrated. Why do we know he was frustrated? Because verse 9 tells us the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. Why was Jesus speaking to him? Because Paul was discouraged. And Paul needed to be told, you need to endure. You're hitting a wall right now. There's a reason why you want to stop. You need to press on. So Jesus said, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. If you evaluate what you're doing when you become discouraged and you see squarely from Scripture that it's something that God would approve of, and by that I mean the preaching of the Word of God, keeping your marriage together, working on your marriage, overcoming sin within your life, if you can identify that this is something that God approves of, you need to press on knowing that this is something God wants you to do. Number two, when you find yourself discouraged and you want to give up, keep praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, to this church, Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, Paul said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In those words of Paul, do you not see those things that discouraged? In the words of Paul, do you not see that Paul was concerned that they may not endure? And so Paul speaks of this idea of being patient in tribulation, continuing to be steadfast And you do that by prayer. Beloved, prayer is quite often our least used tool. But it is one of the greatest tools that we have. You find yourself struggling in your life with sin, with your marriage, with your family, with your work. Go to God in prayer. And keep on. Number three, keep working. Keep moving the ball a little farther down the field. Don't let up. In Romans 2, verses 5 through 7, Paul said, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life, to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." What do you need to do in those areas where you are struggling to keep on working? Now, as I think about the work in Grenada, I've told you, I intend to go back every year. And I believe right now Josh is at the point, having gone there two times, that he's going to go back with someone else next year. And David Cox, who preaches in Athens, Alabama, is going to go in September. And maybe we can find someone else who will go. So every quarter, or at least three times a year, there will be someone coming to encourage these saints and strengthen them and maybe just do something through the process of teaching that will help reach out to other people. But hopefully our prayer is that church will be edified. That's what we're planning to do. And maybe a few other things. What are you doing? What are the steps you're going to take to overcome sin in your life? To be more faithful to God? To be a better husband or a better wife? A better mother or a better father, a better Christian to your fellow Christian. It's not going to happen accidentally, beloved. It only happens when we determine, despite the hardship, to press on and endure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Paul said, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia." Now, Paul could have stopped right there, and that'd be a wonderful statement. But Paul doesn't. Paul said, "But we urge you, brethren, you're doing a great job, you're loving one another, but we want to urge you, keep on. We urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing." Paul said, don't stop. You want to endure. You want to press on. Keep working what's working. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, Paul said, well, the Hebrew writer said, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance." By the way, that's the same word as Paul uses for patience in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know what that verse tells us? Jesus had to endure too. This was not a cakewalk for him, and it's not going to be for us. When we feel like giving up, we've got to make sure that we keep on giving. And finally, we need to make sure that we keep on hoping. In hoping, we mean there that we are hoping and trusting in God and His work in our lives and what He can do and what He longs to do for us on a regular basis. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians 1, verse 11. Well, let's pick up in verse 9. "For this reason we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might," listen, "according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Where does our strength come from? Where does our endurance come from? Ultimately, It comes from God. Now, just chew on that for a while. I don't have all the answers there. But you and I have to press on. But ultimately, it is God that gives us the strength to be a better wife, to be a better husband, to be a better Christian, to be a stronger Christian, to be a better mother, father, to overcome the struggles in life. You and I need to keep hoping that God will be there for us. And by hope, I don't mean the way we oftentimes use it. Well, maybe He will, maybe He won't. But we hope and we trust that He will. And that's going to give us the strength to keep on. Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't like coming to the conclusion that I was not enduring in the work there in Grenada. But that was the conclusion that I had to come to. And I've come to that conclusion, and I long to do what I can now to rectify that by God's grace. Maybe you've got some area in your life tonight where you have not endured. You have been overwhelmed. You have not seen the results you wanted to see. And you've just sort of given up or stepped away. Evaluate whether it's something God wants you to do or not. If it is, keep praying. Keep working. Keep hoping. God's going to help you out. I hope God gives you the strength over the course of the next week, month, year, and years to endure in your service to the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are weak, but You are strong. Dear Father, we sometimes long to give up. You want us to continue on. We appeal to You for strength, that in those areas where we want to stop being who You would have us to be, You indeed will be glorified by our perseverance. And may we never claim credit for ourselves, but always give You the glory. If it is worth doing, dear Father, we pray that we will do it with our might. When we are discouraged, strengthen us. When we are weak, encourage us. When we are willful, break us, dear Father. Dear Father, we are thankful that in some small way as a congregation, we could play a part in various works around the world, of which Grenada is one. But as we look at these works, help us to fight the temptation to look at them simply as a name, but to indeed look at them as people in Sierra Leone, in the Philippines, in parts of Africa, in parts of Central America, South America, in parts within the United States, and yes, within the country of Grenada. While we seek to grow here, may we understand that there are Christians around the world who are struggling and they need encouragement. Thank You, dear Father, that You have blessed this congregation with the resources to do what it does. And thank You, dear Father, for our elders who long to use these funds in such a way as to preach and to teach and strengthen and help Christians. May we ever do that. Dear Father, we ask that You will be with all of Your people everywhere. But in particular tonight, in light of this report, we pray for Your people on the island of Grenada. May they endure. May they press on. May they keep praying, keep working, keep hoping. And to whatever extent we may be of encouragement to them, we pray that we will, as we do for all of Your people everywhere. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, we are about to conclude our time together with one another with an invitation song. If you are not a child of God this evening, then join the body of Christ and leave here tonight rejoicing. We were blessed to find out this morning of our sister Emma, our new sister Emma, and her decision to come to Him and serve God. And
we would be filled with even more joy if there's someone tonight who wants to become His child. If you're a child of God and you desire the prayers of the congregation here for whatever reason, we are here to help you as well. So this evening, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, and if we may encourage you and help you in any way, we invite you to come now while we stand with one another and sing.